Morning.
Morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to all from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. You sent your Son to be our Savior. Father, we do pray that you would continue to encourage us in our faith and increase our faith, Lord, as we do have to wait and struggle in this world. And we do face many trials, Lord. But help us to be secure in the signs that you have revealed to us. To have security and assurance of who you are and that you are with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Why, God, does certain things happen? Show me a sign that you're with me or that you love me. Why do certain things have to just always seem so hard? Those could be some emotions that sometimes it might seem, you know, a little extreme, a little dramatic. But we probably have those times where we just kind of do wonder, God, if you are with me, why is it so difficult? Why is everything so stinking hard? I remember getting ready to preach my very first sermon as a called and ordained pastor. And you got to imagine, when you have just finished 4 years of seminary, even though you had preached sermons before on your internship, and when you had in certain other occasions too, when you filled in here and there as a student or whatever, but then you are a pastor of the church. You have your very own people to take care of. You are about to preach your very first sermon. But your kid has a rough night the night before. And you probably got about 3 hours of sleep. Really, God? 4 years of seminary to preach my first sermon on 3 hours of sleep? And yet, God got me through it. It's not always going to be easy, right? It's not always going to be simple. In fact, there are going to be challenges that rise up, challenges that will seem overwhelming and will make us wonder why. King Ahaz, he was not noted as the greatest king ever in the Bible. In fact, the Bible, we'll just lay it right out there in 1 Kings, it says King Ahaz was a bad person. In 1 Kings it says he did not serve the Lord his God as his father David did. All the kings listed are from David's line, so David was called every king's father in that line on down. Hence, there were kings that did serve God as their father David did, but Ahaz was a king who didn't. And he faced a major trial for anyone to face, any leader of the world to face, would be challenged by this. Two armies were getting ready to march against him. And were trying to lay siege on his capital city. And it says of him that when he heard that Syria was in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz, the heart of his people, shook as the trees of the forest shake in the wind. The heart of Ahaz shook. Okay. But the Lord, full of grace, because, probably for two reasons. One, God does want to see everybody turn back to him, because he does not desire for people to be condemned. So I'm grateful for Ahaz, and also for the fact that this is his line from David to someone very important. Right? Jesus, maybe? Definitely. This is that line. And so he sends Isaiah to him. And he says, go out to meet Ahaz. You and your son, at the end of the conduit, on the upper pool of the highway, to the washer's field, and say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, do not let your heart be faint, because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands of the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. So Isaiah gets his marching orders. And he goes and he meets Isaiah. And he says, or Isaiah goes and meets Ahaz. And he goes and says, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. So, he's telling him to firm up, have faith in God, wake up, have faith, because these two threats against you, they're just smoldering stumps. They're not even these big, huge trees that you got to try to cut down. They're just stumps compared to me, the Lord your God. I am telling you, I'm going to take care of it. And how often do we wish that God would just kind of take care of things for us like that? He's doing it for Ahaz here. God, I'm running 10 minutes late to work. Could you give me all green lights, please? That'd be great. Here, God is solving the issue. He is saying, these two armies are not coming against you. I know that there's times where you would want to hear something like, God, can you please tell my loved one that their cancer is going to go away, that it will be completely removed. God, I feel like I sometimes believe in Murphy's Law more than I believe in you. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Lord, why am I always sick or on the holidays? Like you said, like that, it goes through your mind, right? Why does, you know, just numerous amounts of questions. God, why don't you just fix it, right? Because we know that you can, because you're God. It would be nice sometimes if we could rub that magic lamp and God would come out and just grant us our wish like a genie. It doesn't always work like that. But what he does, though, next, what Isaiah says next, is where we, as God's people, draw our hope from. Lord, show me a sign that you love me. Well, it's coming right next. But before it, it's important to note, too, it's a wicked generation that does ask for a sign. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. Some people came up to him and said, if you're the Messiah, show us a sign. And Jesus said, it's a wicked generation that asks for a sign. And then he goes on to say that none will be given except the sign of Jonah. Right? So he goes on and tells, and yet was a wicked and evil generation that asks for a sign from God. And why is it a wicked thing for us to do? Because it shows a lack of trust in God, right? So it was a wicked thing to ask for a sign. Isaiah is saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Go ahead and ask. And let it be as deep as Sheol, which means the pit, which can be interpreted as hell. Let the sign be as deep as hell, or as high as heaven. Ask for a pretty big sign. Ask for an amazing sign. God is saying, go ahead, do it. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. He seems real pious, because we know from the New Testament in Jesus, we don't want to ask God for a sign, because that's a wicked thing to do. If you love me, prove it. If you're with me, prove it. Just fix my problems, God. Prove it. But Isaiah goes ahead and he says, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? So here he is, he's coming from God, and he's saying, Isaiah's coming from God, and he's saying, you're making God tired. Not only are you a miserable king amongst men, but you're not, now God is going to be tired of you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey. So curds are kind of like butter, if you will, churned butter. And so Israel was called the land of flowing with milk and honey. So we're kind of getting to this, these promises of God, which are good. He will eat curds and honey. And when he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, for before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose good, meaning like long before he exists, or long before he's incarnate, long before this boy grows to a man, the land whose two kings you will tread will be deserved. So he's saying, once again, your problem with these two nations are taken care of. But even more so, here's a sign from God. Here's the sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. It's not that it's wrong to look for signs. In fact, what we need to do is look to the signs that God has given us and revealed to us. That's what Jesus did. His very conception in Mary was a miracle, a powerful sign. More on that to come next Saturday night, right? More on that to come. But a virgin conceiving and bearing a son, that's a sign. Jesus healing the blind, giving them sight, that's a sign. Him walking on water, that's a sign. Being able to feed 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish, that's a sign. Walking on water, that's a sign. Oh, dying on a cross for the whole world to see. And 3 days later, rising from the dead. That is the sign of all signs. Jesus has shown us these signs. And so when we suffer, it's not that God doesn't suffer with us, and not that he's not there with us. As it says in the scriptures, we have a Savior, a God, who knows what it's like to live as a human being because God took on human flesh in Jesus. I'm sure that Jesus knew what it was like to catch a cold. I'm sure that Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted. I'm sure Jesus knew what it was like to feel hunger. Why am I sure of these things? Because the accounts of his life say so. God can relate to us, and he loves us. But he wants us to look to the amazing things that he did, to know that he is with us. Because if we're honest with ourselves too, if everything was just as easy as it could be all the time, if everything just went our way all the time, if Mary and Joseph didn't have to run to Egypt 2 years after Jesus was born because of King Herod, that would have just been easy, right? If Caesar Augustus didn't decree that everybody had to go to their hometowns for a census, and Mary had to travel pregnant, that just would have been too easy. It just wasn't so easy. It didn't have to happen that way. But when we look at the challenges that we face, and we trust in Emmanuel, God with us, the Son who was born of a virgin, the Son who is Son of God and Son of man, the Son who died on a cross for you to take your place, the Son who opened the gates of hell to pull you from going in there, to pull you out, and then to reclose it and shut it so you don't fall back in. The Son who died on that cross and rose again on that Easter. That Son is with you. And if he is with you, he is going to be with you through every trial you face in this world. I hope that you never have two marching armies come onto your house. But I know that there's going to, and you probably won't. Yes. But I do know that there's things that trouble you, things that trouble your souls. Take heart. God is with you. It is a wicked generation that asks for a sign. And none will be given except for the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days, right? Jesus was in the tomb. He died on the cross. He took the tomb. And day three, he rose again. The sign of Jonah. God has given us the signs. It is for us to believe and to receive hope from those signs. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.